Did any of you get to connect with the visions that were given and the coordinates from Kim Clement? Which was actually a week ago Saturday? You did? Okay. Did you see Mark Sharona? And the film, well, this past Saturday, there was another piece to the puzzle. And I found myself going there this morning. And I heard the words very strong, Daniel 2:43. As you saw the iron mixed with the baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. Verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or left to another people. I will crush all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will endure forever, meaning the kingdom of God will endure forever. So you might check that out and read it for yourself. But what Daniel was given as a commission was to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in that vision. What was spoken by Kim Clement was that the season of 2009, he felt, was the opening of that season where the kingdom was beginning. It also confirms Wade Taylor's prophetic word at the same time, which I don't think they knew each other. And I was there when Wade gave us a word that the 2009, the beginning of the kingdom, was already established. Now, how many know Jesus landed in the earth, but then 30 years later, his ministry began? Mm-hmm. And so the beginning of something doesn't always activate a pop-up and automatically, oh, it's a new year. There's a transition period that happens when a new age comes in. The reason I'm saying that is because right now, if you listen to the news, you can get quite upset trying to see how God's going to take the British and their connections to the coordinates of the Roman Empire that's trying to be revived. And they're not able to hold it together. In case you forgot, the Brits have decided to get out of there. Now, when you look at the part of the vision that was given back in 2010, it lines up with what's happening in 2016. If you listen to what happened the week before, when he was in Mark Sharona's church in June of 2010, if you listen to that program, you actually can line it up with what happened in Orlando. And it talks about a revival coming right after that. So, where are we and why is all this being brought out? Because the prophetic word, when it's given, does not always manifest immediately. The word comes first. How many years was it prophesied that Jesus was going to be born in a manger? And how many years were people waiting? And where's that virgin? And who is she? And all these questions. And why is it so hard that we can't recognize the king when he does show up? Well, he didn't show up in the king's palace. Amen? He showed up in a field. And so You know, prophetic words and prophetic visions are given, and it's really a murky language. It's not clear right away. It's not always understood right away. And pieces are added, and more is added, and more is added. Well, when you get enough pieces, you get to see, oh my God, this is what all this is lining up, and it's showing us that there's going to be an incredible revival. Well, I listened to Kim Clement last night for a little while, when actually they were recorded when he visited the Ground Zero in New York. And part of the prophecy that was given in 2009 was that there would be a real revival starting at Ground Zero. And later on, he ended up prophesying and praying on that piece of land a year ago, in 2015. So what is God saying to you and me? Are we ready for what's coming? Are we prepared? Did you and I have a dream? Do we have a dream? Have we advertised it? Like Joseph. Did people laugh? Yeah, some of them laugh. Some of them are still laughing. But we're still here. And that's to God's glory. So why am I saying this? Because, again, the press was to put on the shirt because Joseph had a commission from God, no different than any one of us who has had a word from the Lord and it begins to gel. Well, when Joseph's vision or dream started to gel, he was at the bottom of a stupid cistern and full of mud, and they wanted him to leave him there. His brothers wanted him there. What does that say? The church is having a hard time with those that are ready to cross over into the new kingdom. And what did they do to Joseph? They sent him off to Egypt. They sold him and got some money out of him. And their jealousy was intense. Okay? Now, you say, well, why are you saying that? Because when I was searching today, I said, Lord, what is it about Joseph that lines up for now? And he reminded me that there was a season where Joseph was not known to his family. They had no clue of where he was. They thought he was dead. And to be honest, they even believed it themselves after a while. You know, let's face it, he's out of your life. He's out of his father's life. He's out of his brother's life. And they might have said, well, you know what? He's gone. Maybe we lied to Dad, but maybe he's dead now. And they believe their own deception. But when you look at Genesis chapter 45, I want you to kind of go there because I think there's some pieces to the puzzle that I believe God wants to manifest so that what's happening, not just to the prophets of the Lord, but to each and every one of you who are prophetic and visionaries. You're being tested. You're being pressured. And some of you don't like it. Neither do I. Okay? But it's part of the test. Will I pass? Absolutely, because the one who's got full charge of me is going to take me to the finish line. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor. Say, so are you.
Amen.
So are you.
You're going to make it to the finish line. Because it's not all about you.
It's not all about you.
It is about him.
It's about him.
In you.
In you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 1 of chapter 45. Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Why is it important that Pharaoh's household heard? Because he was wailing way beyond the normal realm. Okay? And I'm sure they knew him. He had to be right at the right hand of Pharaoh, so the family knew him. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brother, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." So now, what was meant for evil, what he perceived as evil, was totally transformed when he saw the purpose of why he was taken out of his own country. Why his brothers were jealous. It was a setup. And he says it to them so that they will begin to believe instead of blaming themselves.
Amen.
Yeah. How many times do you and I blame ourselves for something that we should not be thinking, "Oh my God, how can he be in this? Because it's so messy." But God was in it, even if it was messy, right? Verse 6, "For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God." Get a good look at verse 8. "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh." Listen to what that means. It means that Joseph has been giving wisdom to Pharaoh himself. He's a father figure to him. That's intense. So out of a catastrophe, out of hatred and jealousy, God says, "I'm going to blossom this thing and make it like you could never conceive. And I will save not only Pharaoh and his Egyptians, but I'm going to save" who? Jacob Israel. The supplanter, the trickster. "And I'm going to take care of the whole package." Does that give you hope? Yeah. "He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord over all of Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come." So the challenge isn't over. "Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin. That it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all of the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen. And bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. He wasn't finished, was he? And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. He kissed his brothers. He kissed his betrayers. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." In other words, leave your rags behind. What kind of a message is that for you and me? What's coming in the kingdom that's been prepared is going to be so awesome, it'll outshine anything you and I could conceive. So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provision for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. Why is he blessing Benjamin? Yes, that's right. These were blood from both mom and dad. And this is what he sent to his father, 10 donkeys loaded with the best, etc., etc. You know, when you realize the coordinates that were put together, you see the pressure and the suffering of Joseph. You see him now being blessed, but not just him, the entire house, even those who couldn't stand his guts, those who laughed at him, those who mocked him. Why am I spelling this out? Because I believe that many of you have had difficult situations in relationships, in family situations, circumstances which were not always comfortable for you, but why are you here? Why do you keep coming back? Has God got a plan for you? Is He planning to give you the things that were prepared by a heavenly Father who loved you in spite of all of what the darkness that you've been through? I believe the story of Joseph is the picture of the church. Yes, Elijah and Elisha, very similar. The hearts of the fathers are coming back to the sons, and the sons are coming back to the father. That's part of what's happening. I believe that's what's happening with you. And it's not natural fathers, it's spiritual father. It's much more than you could conceive that you're flying high. You need to fly high in order to reach the one that's your dad. The same happens to each and every single one of you. When God made the decision to bless you, it wasn't just for you, it was for the entire house. Sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. Amen? So, if it was true for Joseph, it's also true for? All right. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you're trying to wake me up. Not to be concerned about Europe or America. God's got His hand on the crooks, the deceivers, the liars, and the jealous ones.
There is a Holy Spirit.
He's already impacted my life. But He's going to touch America.
He's going to revive America.
And it will touch many hearts. And even my kids.
And if there are grandchildren.
And great-grandchildren.
They're all included.
Aunts and uncles, cousins and relatives.
Aunts and uncles, cousins, Get a clue.
Get a clue.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit
has an inheritance to you.
Has an inheritance to you.
Because of Holy Spirit in me.
Because of the Holy Spirit in me.
Amen. Some of you said amen.
Amen.
Some of you are taking that one home. And you should take it home. Because when our Heavenly Father started this work, He said, I'm going to finish it all the way to the victory.
Amen.
And I would say, if you have a chance, keep on reading because there's a lot more. And I think one of the most astounding parts is to realize that Jacob was 130 years old when he blessed Pharaoh. And that's awesome. Awesome. He blessed Pharaoh and his family. A little deceiver who had the Lord. Blessings to each of you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.